The guy who weathers that pressure, he's a terrific guest on our show. He's the assistant general manager, and that is Bobby Evans. Bobby, how are you?
Hey, Bobby.
Very good, guys. How's it going today?
How did I? Did I summarize it okay?
Yeah, big game tonight. I think Matt's going to have a lot on his shoulders, but I think he's up for it. It's been a tough two games here, so we've got to get him tonight.
Yeah, what's the state of the ball club through your eyes right now? I mean, they've lost 13 of 17. As I say, this is June 28th. You know, we're still with 82 to go, still with a two-game lead, but losing 13 out of 17, is there an end in sight? How do you view this?
Well, it is tough when you don't have your everyday lineup out there, and, you know, losing Pagan, you know, clearly in this last stretch, this last 2 weeks, has been the most significant loss. The, you know, Belt, we weathered that storm well with Morse at first base, Coleman coming up and Blanco covering left field, but now with the loss of Pagan, it's almost rerun of last year without Pagan. He's such a key to our lineup. You know, hopefully he's going to come around quickly and we can get back to business with Belt rehabbing. There's some hope that we can get more of our lineup back together. It is tough. It is amazing to lose as many games as we have recently and still be in first place. But you'd like to get back to having a little more cushion, and that may take a lot of work here.
Hey, Bobby, is it just the loss of Pagan and Belt, but the home record? Is it just can you factor it just on those two guys not being in the lineup? But you start the year 20-6 at home, and now it's 2-10 the last 12. That's kind of odd, right?
Well, you had those losses against Colorado, which are really almost the, you know, the antithesis of what this club has been, to lose those three games that really are within your grasp. Our bullpen has been so locked down, it's uncharacteristic. And then following that, to have lost some traction with our lineup at times, as well as our starting rotation, we've got to get it back together and make sure that the home field advantage is just that, an advantage. It's not something that we can count on to do as well on the road. So we obviously need to make sure that the home town advantage is there for us.
Boy, as you go through this season, you realize you have to play good baseball. You got to hit, you got to pitch, you got to catch the ball. And in my opinion, just for this streak here, you can't get those three in one game. And I think that's been the biggest problem.
Well, from the beginning of the year, we said that our rotation is the backbone of our club, and we've got our rotation. If they can keep the game close, we like our chances because of our lineup, because of our bullpen. And when you have the big blow-up innings with a big crooked number up there against you early, it especially in a streak like this, it can get you down. Plus, we faced some really good pitching, and yesterday was no different. So we've got to make adjustments. And I think that, you know, there's nobody that's going to get this team better prepared than our coaching staff and Boach for every game. Put the games of yesterday behind you, and then press forward. And I think there's still a lot of enthusiasm on this club, even without having the full, you know, regular lineup. I think that we've got an understanding of what we've got to do, and I think Boach has got them prepared.
Boy, and this week you brought up two young players. You know, I do these shows all the time. You know, everyone's screaming, bring Panic up, bring Duval up. Well, you certainly did it. Panic got a couple of hits his first time, and he's just adjusting to the speed of the game. Duval lofted a nice one out the other night, and I thought made a great throw in the first inning to get Hamilton and blocked a couple of balls at first. What's your assessment of Panic and Duval in the first week?
Well, Duval yesterday with that throw did impress me. I think it's very difficult with the runner in front of you on the pickoff play. You lift your head up, and then you've got to make a throw right through the runner. And he made a great play, and having not played, you know, as many as 30 games at first base, and now he's at the big league level doing it, very impressive. Like to see his at-bats, like to see him hit the ball hard twice the other night, including the home run. Two games so far so good. You know, again, you want to see him hit the ball hard. Whether he hits it, you know, to somebody or not, you want to see him hit the ball hard. That's what he's up here to do, and cover his position and get us back till Belt comes back. With Panic, again, you're talking about a player who, when he came up, was one of the hottest hitters at the AAA level, and he's not had the quality of at-bats that, you know, that he's really known for in our organization. He's a low strikeout guy. I think that's going to play out But you're still talking about very limited at bats, and I think it'd be unfair to pass too much a harsh judgment on just two hits in his first, four or five games here. But again, this is a guy that's his track record for us in the minor leagues is he's going to give you a quality at bat. We haven't seen it so much yet. I think that some of that's nerves.
Bobby Evans, KNBR. What does Bruce Boch here, the coaching staff, what do they tell a guy like Panic to kind of alleviate the stress or the grip of kind of struggling a little bit since he's been up here?
Well, they gave him the day off yesterday, really, to clear his head, and that's all intentional to just say, hey, the weight of this team is not on your shoulders. I mean, this winning and losing the game is not on Panic's shoulders. It's a team effort, but there's also veterans here that are going to carry the load. You just got to do your part, catch the ball, throw the ball, give quality at bats, and the team will take care of the rest. And I think that's part of the depressurizing conversation that has to happen.
Hey, nice to have Bobby with us. One of the main reasons I wanted you on today was to talk about the draft. And we saw Tyler Beede pitch for Vanderbilt. Yep. The draft is now past us. You've signed some of your picks in the first 15, I think maybe half of them. But can you summarize a little bit of the draft, of how you feel about it and some of the people that we should be watching and even that first-round pick?
Well, the first-round pick was very exciting for us because he comes from a great program, first of all, at Vanderbilt, that has a great track record of producing quality arms and taking care of those arms throughout their college career. This was a first-round draft pick, Tyler Beede, out of high school, and then to be as talked about going into this draft and be a first-rounder again is a credit to him. He didn't pitch as well in the College World Series. I think there's a number of factors there. Of course, he had obviously been drafted and had already pitched 100 innings this season. But there's a short leash. When you're in the College World Series, you don't allow a guy to struggle too long because every game can't get out of hand. And we know going in that this is a guy that we will make some adjustments with mechanically to help him with his command. But we love his stuff. I mean, four major league pitches that will allow him possibly to come more quickly just because of how clean his delivery is. Even Rags, I think, saw some of the video after the fact and watch some of the game in Vanderbilt, and everybody's commenting on the delivery being one that's going to be encouraging and probably easier to adjust, make small adjustments with than anything. It's so smooth, and this is a fierce competitor, and we've got to get him in throwing strikes, particularly with the fastball. The rest, his off-speed stuff, will take care of itself, and some of that's just really just where he's headed towards the plate and some minor adjustments. But again, he'll get here, and he may not pitch a lot this year because he's already thrown 110 plus innings.
Well, the arm is exciting, though, I will tell you that. To see it, the 94, 95, very exciting to just see it come, and it looks like it comes out of his hand easily.
Yeah, it's a great delivery. He's just going to get more direct to the plate, and I think we'll see the results of that next spring.
Bobby, he's got a lot of swag. We know he's into the hip-hop game and all that. But for folks who didn't see Beede in the College World Series, SEC got the ACC once again. Who does his what does his whole thing look like? Or can you describe a pitcher that maybe mirrors his whole rotation, everything? Or the way he throws the ball?
Everybody has their own mechanics. Own style to the plate, but Tyler is just, his delivery is what you want every one of our sons to throw like. I mean, it's picture perfect. I mean, he gets good extension, he gets good balance, he stays on the back leg. He's mechanically sound, which encourages you. I'm not sure I have a guy that I would pin him on, but it is exciting to have an arm like that come into your system and have accomplished what he has accomplished in college and hope that he can get into the system. And maybe he's a guy that starts in San Jose next year and works his way up. Regardless, he won't pitch a lot this year, and he'll start an instructional league. Well, we'll be able to make some, minor refinements as needed. But, what a competitor. I mean, he reminds me just, again, having not talked to him and gotten to know him like I have, of course, Bumgarner, but there's nobody more competitive in baseball than a Mash and Bumgarner. I see this guy as a fierce competitor.
Well, great.
Great praise.
That's good to know. Yeah. Hey, Bobby Evans with us. Escobar's going to the Futures game. I know that he started off a little slowly in Fresno, and you've always preached to me, and you're right. You got to look at the whole body of work as we go through the season. But that's quite an honor for him.
Well, it is. And, you know, his numbers are, you know, in terms of AAA, are not necessarily overwhelming, but he continues to, at 22 years old, you know, be one of the youngest guys at the in the PCL. And despite, you know, struggling at times, this is a fluid arm, left-hander. He's striking out a fair number of guys. Not quite, you know, 9 per 9, but he's in, you know, more in the 8 strikeouts per 9 category. And he's deceptive, and he mixes his pitches, but his delivery is not necessarily easy on these guys to hit. And yet, you know, his numbers are not pretty, but at 22 years old, it gives you a lot to look forward to.
What's up with the Cuban young man that you signed? Is he almost ready to come over?
Yeah, Daniel Carbonell is an athlete, first of all, and that's one of the things that was exciting to us about him. He's an outfielder, can play all three, has primarily played center field the 3 years he played in Cuba. Did not play in any international tournaments, so he didn't have some of the you know, opportunities to be evaluated or even recognized, along with some of the others. But again, I think he's in the development process. For us right now, he's completing the final stages of getting his visa. He's established residency in Mexico, which enabled us to sign him. And then now he'll get his visa hopefully this week, and then make his way to Arizona, where we'll get a physical. We've already sent conditioning guys and one of our instructors in to work with him there in Mexico. We were waiting the visa just to get him used to our conditioning program and get him used to our our drills for outfielders and swinging the bat. And he'll show up, you know, probably more ready to play in his own mind, and we'll probably be more cautious just to make sure that he gets into best baseball shape before he starts facing.
Boy, terrific. Yeah, terrific. Oh, thanks for that update. Hey, Bobby, sure. A pleasure. I know you got to run. Pat, you finish it up with Bobby?
No, I'm good with Bobby. It seems to me, Bobby, maybe you can just hit on this just a little bit, is that the Cubans are putting out some big-time stars, and per capita, is that the most talent-rich place in the world right now, or at least in the hemisphere, huh? What do you think?
Well, the talent coming from Cuba is more established. I mean, these are players that have played professionally in Cuba, and they're coming out at the age of 22, 23, and 24 years old, where players coming out of the Dominican are 16 and 17 years old and need a lot more time to develop. There's a lot more of them in the Dominican, as far as I can tell, than there are Cuba, because we don't have access to the guys in Cuba unless they make it over and out of the country into you know, another part of the world and established residency. So there's limited numbers of them, but the ones that are coming out are extremely excellent athletes, and they're more established because they've played professionally and are a little older.
Yeah, man, you hit it on the head. They're pros in Cuba, and they take their baseball seriously.
Big time.
Very seriously. So when they come out of there, you know, they know the fundamentals. I always said Levon Hernandez, to me, was the most fundamentally sound pitcher I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Well, he had 9 live. I mean, his fastball that won it for Florida in 97, and then ultimately pitched all the way up until the last year or so. And this guy's been phenomenal.
Hey, thank you, Bobby, so much. Pleasure. Always great to have you on the show.
Appreciate it, Bobby.
Thank you, Pico. Thanks, Marty. See you.
All right. Have a good afternoon.
Good stuff.
That's Bobby Evans, assistant general manager. Always interesting.